So Joe and Susan, you know, both of you guys, you serve your community in different ways. How do you guys keep that shared value here alive in your home?
In our home?
Yeah, in your home.
Well, I think we discuss what we're doing. I think we talk about current events. Mm. And I think we talk about ways that things that we believe in, values that we believe in, you know, how we can better the community. Suzanne serving on the Rogers School Board, then my service on the Northwest Arkansas Community College Board, where I've been a board of trustee now for 19 years.
But what's going through my head right now is throughout our whole conversation, you know, I can really sense you guys have a really strong value system. Going back to the Ozark values, like John Rex fighting and Joe here said.
Who's trademarked that? Anyone?
I don't know.
I think we've got a trademarker for you then, Joe.
I think the Ozark.
I know nobody's, but you know, who has
it? I don't know, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds great, yeah. But just, you know, our conversation here and talking about your values here at home, and you can hear how important it is in the way you talk about it and discuss it, even just with us here in this hour mm-hmm. or so we've been discussing it. And I think that's important to have, you know, with your partner, with, you know, if you have a family, with your children, with your siblings or your mother and your father, whoever. I think those talking about those values and really discussing what it means is top tier, I should say. I think for anyone who isn't doing that, they should definitely consider
mm-hmm.
it.
A lot of love in this house. You can feel a lot of love, mm. you know.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Thank you. That's the ultimate compliment. thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. I should have just said that. I think I overcomplicated it, but yes, that is exactly what I was trying to say right there. Perfect.
You know, it's true in the sense that it is love, but you guys are very hospitable. We have your Joe, your mother is here with us, and you feel comfortable to all be together. And it just makes us feel more comfortable. And it's just a back and forth thing.
Thank you.
And, you know, I really hope that, that Enrique and I, we get invitations for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
You have our door is always, our,
you know,
our door is always open.
We are, I'll give you the address so we can get the invite, but it just feels nice. So.
You have the funniest at our table.
Tell you, and this is, you talk about John Rex. This year he wanted to, I had three turkeys because I did a little two small ones so uh-huh. he wanted to
fry turkey
deep fried or
smoke
he wanted to smoke it on the grill and okay. he was very competitive on that turkey let me tell you
okay. he gives Rice Barbecue a run for their money, huh?
Well,
he's not here right now.
He's not here to defend himself.
So you were go ahead
no go ahead
No, you were talking about, you know, values and the service thing. And throughout life, I think everybody has opportunities to look back and reflect and say, you know, at some point in their life, you know, they were, you know, had opportunity to watch service or to talk about how we can make this world a better place. And I was just thinking just now to an example I had, one of my early camperees as a Boy Scout, and had a scoutmaster on the Sunday that we were leaving the camperee. He said, "I want you to line up side by side, and I want you to walk through the campsite, and I want you to pick up every little thing you see, any candy wrappers or any paper or anything." And he said, "I want you to take the grass and fluff the grass back up." So I said, "Mr. Forrest," I was the questioner, "why do we have to do that? Why do we have to?" And he said, I want to make this campsite better than we found it.
Oh, yep.
And so I said, "Well, Mr. Forrest, why do we have to make it better than we found it?" And he said, "You're going to be called upon to make your area, to where you live, it may be your neighborhood, it may be your state, it may be your nation, but you're going to be called upon. Are you going to leave it better than you found it? Or are you going to ravage it? What kind of young man do you want to be? Do you want to be the builder, do you want to make it better? And he said, remember this lesson. You always want to make this world a better place to live. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's why I want you to make this campsite better than you found it.
Yeah, there you go.
That lesson has stuck with me.
It has stuck with him. And he has always told our two children that same lesson. He has always preached that from that scout leader. So Joe does live by that motto.
I mean, why wouldn't you want to keep your community clean and keep your community somewhere they all can enjoy? I mean, why mm-hmm. wouldn't you want to do that, right?
That's right.
Why wouldn't you want to make it better?
Right. Yeah. And so I think keeping that in mind with whatever you do every day.
Not only that, but making people better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lifting people. I always say, I have a saying, I say, lift people up. Lift people up. Don't tear people down. But at the same time, make those accountable.
How long ago was that when you went on the, was it a camping trip? Is that what it was, right?
It was a camp, Boy Scout camporee. A camporee is when multiple troops from all over an area, like all of Northwest Arkansas, were together. I can tell you, I was probably 12 years old.
So, and
13.
And you, how many children do you have again? How, if you don't
remember, we have two.
Okay, two children.
John Rex does have a sister, a younger sister.
Yeah, she's in New York. That's right.
And we're very proud of her.
Yeah. Well, I guess the point of what I'm trying to say is, you know, you can get good advice. Doesn't matter how early or late in life, as long as it has such a strong impact, you'll forever remember it and apply it to.
And he has always shared that with both of our children many times.
And students and others. It's just
it's a
great life lesson.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I like it a lot. I think it shows how tight and close you are with keeping the community alive and just making it better. I mean, because why not? I mean, why wouldn't you want your community to be something that your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor, your friend, your brother, mother can enjoy? I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you want to do that?
I think that's very, very true. There's something that when I have family come visit over from California, or just, you know, friends and family, and the one thing they always say about it is how clean and how good or how nice the people are here in this community. And it's something I keep hearing all the time. And then as we meet guests for the podcast, they have such a similar take on this area. But a kind of a question for both of you, and Suzanne, you can answer this first. What is one change you'd love to see in Rogers in the next 5 years?
Oh, wow. And you want me to answer that first. Give him time to think. Wow, that I want to see in Rogers. Well, okay.
Small or big. Okay. It's just...
Okay. I think we have grown we've just grown so quickly that I think our infrastructure to get from point A to point B is so hard right now. So I think we have growing pains there. So hopefully we can resolve those issues. And I think that we have said we're community minded in this community. And I just pray we stay that way. I think we all want to help each other. Mm-hmm. I think that was evident in the tornado. We all want to help each other. And I just hope we get stronger.
Yeah.
In that area, maybe I should say.
Great answer. I love it.
Like Suzanne said, you know, you have, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. But I think we certainly, we have to be cognizant of our growth, and we understand the growth. And because 38 to 40 people a day are moving in here, and how are we going to contain it? How are we? So I think better planning. I think roads are probably one of the overriding issues.
Yeah.
I think the other thing I'd like to see is greater workforce development. I'd like to see more affordable housing in Northwest Arkansas. So I think affordable housing, I think roads, we have to do something about roads and greater access. I drove from Fayetteville today coming back, and I went down the Dick Trammell Highway, which is the old wire road way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was bumper to bumper traffic at 5 o'clock on that. And that's a fairly, that was to alleviate some of the traffic. I think if we don't address the housing issue, that we're going to be really behind.
That's huge.
It is huge.
And,
yep.
And along with that, I think we also in Northwest Arkansas need to bring in better industry. Yeah. When I talk about industry, I talk about clean, you know, at one time people talk about, we got to have high tech industry. I think we need more clean, you know, what I call clean industry, which is things you thought you see in some places in Texas where, you know, you'll see an office building, but that office building may be a manufacturing facility. So, we have some good things going.
Yeah.
You know, we have transportation, we have medical, now, and I give credit to the Walton family, what they're doing. We have these, the amenities like,
the
Alice Walton's, College of Medicine. You have Crystal Bridges. You have all of these wonderful things going on. At the same time, people are coming in. We also have, as more people move in here, our Northwest Arkansas Food Bank is growing and growing. So you have, you have people that access, I'm sure that access the food bank that are also working. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see more opportunities for higher paying jobs in Northwest Arkansas, higher paying labor, general labor jobs. So workforce is critical. Workforce training is critical. I think our community college is doing a really good job. I'm very proud to be a part of that community college because I grew up here when there wasn't a community college and you didn't. And now students graduating from our local schools have opportunities to get training and get education at the community college.
And to get certifications while in high school through the
That's amazing. That's such
which
amazing
is
program.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But Joe, I agree with you. You kind of caught me off guard with that question. Suzanne, you go first.
You could have said more Chick-fil-A, more Taco Bells.
But affordable housing is a real issue.
Yes.
It's an issue for us hiring people in our district. It's a huge issue because, you're in real estate, affordable housing.
Yeah, it's something that comes up very, very often when I sit down with potential homeowners. Nika, what's the average price per square foot? What's the average sales price in Benton County, in Washington County? No. We're sitting above, I think some places are above 400,000 as the average sales price for a single family home.
Yes, yes.
You know, most people, and this is not a bad thing, but most people, they don't qualify for that amount, right? What can we find for them that is habitable, that's just as enjoyable, that'll still give them that proud feeling of home ownership while also not breaking the bank. You know, there's something that we say is called a house broke, right? It's they buy a house and maybe it's, you know, on the higher end, but then they have nothing left after they buy a house. They can't even afford to furnish the home. You know, that is a big issue, I think, that I'm seeing across the board.
Yes.
And there's something that needs to be done for sure with affordable housing. And when we talk about affordable housing, this just reminded me that Bentonville Schools was working on a development for their teachers specifically. What do you all know about that?
I don't know enough about it to really speak on the subject. I know it's an initiative that the Bentonville Schools are undertaking.
Yeah.
But I can't speak to the specifics of it.
But our district realizes that is a problem. And also daycare is another issue for these young working parents. Daycare is a huge issue. So I think that's another problem that we need to face. There's just, lots of.
Well, it makes sense that should be something to look into, right? Because as we know, cost of living has gone up. So typically in a household, both parents are working. And
both parents are having to work.
It's not uncommon for not a parent to be around to, take care of the child in need. And so I think
looking at the bigger picture of our, you know, infrastructure, affordable housing, making sure that we can just make the cost of living not such a burden for most folks is definitely something that has to be looked at very, very harshly in our area. I think it'll be a big benefit if we start figuring ways to resolve some of these issues for our folks here.
Another question for both of y'all. What legacy do you hope both of y'all would leave behind in this Northwest Arkansas area?
I think in terms of legacy, you know, I think it's, you know, building upon the past. And I think we just continue on, you know, based upon those people, those who have gone before us, those who are with us now, who are continuing to live the legacy, like my mother, our mother here, who's set wonderful examples. So I think she falls into that that legacy.
And Suzanne, how about you?
Well, I guess I agree with Joe. That's a hard thing to pinpoint. You know, my parents were both high school graduates, but neither one of them had the opportunity to go to college. And I guess my father and my mother, but particularly my father, always stressed to my sister and me, education, education, get all the education you can, please. I mean, that was so important to him. So I guess my legacy is wanting people to know education is the key to success. Education is someone's key to improving their life. Education is a way for you to take care of your family. Education is important. So I guess my legacy that I would want people to remember me for is that I believed in education.
Yeah, I think being open to just always learning, I think, even if it's something personal or it via a degree or just being open to learning anything, I think is a great way to just grow in life.
And I loved it when I was teaching. You know, I always told my students, education comes in different ways. It's not your typical four-year college degree.
Right.
It can be a certification in electricity, in plumbing, become a master plumber, a welder. There's just so many opportunities, and I think we need to remember education. It's broad.
My thought is when somebody gets a certification, that could lead to maybe somebody unleashing maybe their entrepreneurship inside.
Right.
I have my welder's certification. Oh, I can start this huge welding company and do this, that, or the other. So
what a wonderful career path.
Oh,
yeah. You know. Yeah. Definitely. I think that is important to know that it's not just about. Because I think a lot of younger people, at least I know my brother, when he was in high school, he was like, oh, I don't want to go to college. I'm like, you don't have to. You can go get a certification somewhere or get education in a different field. But don't stop learning. You know, I can agree with that testament.
I'll give you a story about that. About 4 years ago, there was we had an incident out here where a young man cut himself with a knife and ultimately had to be airlifted out. And the ambulances were up there and I was watching the EMTs work, and so they had a life flight this young man to Springfield, Missouri, and I was watching the EMTs. When they came up, we were standing by the fence. There was this one young lady, and I said, just noticed your work. I said, I want to thank you both for your service. I looked at her, and I said, just curious, where did you get your training? Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, Mr. Bobby, she said, I know who you are. You spoke at my graduation. From EMT school, paramedic school. And I said, really? And she said, yes. I said, well, you did a great job. And I said, wanted to stand back and just watch you work there. And thank you. She said, I now have a degree. I have a skill. And she said, I went to the community college and I got my training. I'm a paramedic. I'm an EMT. And she said, if it wasn't for Northwest Arkansas Community College. Now, she said, I'm the first person in my family to get to go past high school.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she said, the community college has given me a career path. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah, look at that.
It proves that mm-hmm. you can, like you were saying, Enrique, have a certification. Mm-hmm. That's what she got. She got
mm-hmm.
you know, she got a double certification, paramedic, EMT, mm-hmm. and look what she was doing, saving lives.
Saving lives. She saved that little boy's
life.
Excellent. And both Suzanne and Joe, you got deep roots here. I'm sure we know a lot of folks in our area. Is there anyone here in your life, it can be family, friends, or even past mentors that you'd like to recognize or thank for shaping who you both are today?
Sure. Well, first of all, it starts with my family. It starts with my parents, Adeline and Rex Spivey, who, you know, instilled in us as kids, you know, service, giving back to your community, giving back, you know, to your community, to your church, and making your area, making where you live a better place. And then it goes to people in your life that you encounter. And I can tell you the one person in my life that has meant so much to me, and his name is Dick Trammell. Everybody knows him as Dickie Ray Trammell. Dick Trammell is Mr. Northwest Arkansas. And I remember meeting Dick Trammell when I was a freshman in high school. He had just moved here from Northeast Arkansas, and he was going in the Rotary Club, and my dad said, come here, I want you to meet this new man we have in our community. He's going to make a big difference in our community. That was 1975, and that was Dick Trammell. That was that gentleman right there. He is Mr. Northwest Arkansas, and he has been my mentor, and I've been very close to him since he first moved here. So if there's one person I would want to recognize, that it's him. I got to work with, and I also, he recruited me to banking. I got to work with him in banking. He is one of the kindest, most positive men you'll ever know. So I'm going to call him out and say,
there he is. Here we go. Shout out to Dick.
Shout out to Dickie Ray Trammell.
He's like a distinction.
I'm like Joe. I've had a lot of mentors, but probably Joe's very specific, and I've had so many I couldn't even begin to name them all. But I will say this: my parents taught me a tremendous work ethic, values, and just, I had wonderful parents and who instilled in me, you have a dream, you go for it. Mm. And then I will also say, she's sitting here.
No.
My mother-in-law and my father-in-law. He was the most wonderful man. I've been blessed because I had fabulous parents. Uh-huh. And I've been blessed to have marry somebody who had fabulous parents who have really taught me. I've just been blessed to have wonderful parents.
That's amazing.
In-laws and my parents. So they both are they're very different.
Yeah.
Very different. My parents and Joe's parents, very different. But they both valued education. They both had very strong faith. Mm-hmm. And they, all four of them, loved people and loved servicing and taking care of other people. And that is the gift I had from both my parents and Joe's parents. And I was a very blessed girl because I had loving parents, and I married a man who had loving parents and who have loved me for 44 years. So I'm blessed with that. So with that being said, there are so many people in my life who've touched my heart, but my mom and my dad and Rex and Adeline Spivey have been just my mentors.
Very touching.
That's very beautiful.
Yeah. It's back to what Carlos said, you can feel the love here in this home.
Yeah.
I mean, just when you talk about them and the connections you have, and very lovely to hear. Such a beautiful shout out to the family that you gave.
You know, we don't go through life alone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, you need people who will support you, back you. You know, as I always say, surround yourself around those who build you up, not tear you down, and yet still hold you accountable. And while I was thinking about others, I thought of some others. You know, mm-hmm. you were talking about, you're motivated by, you know, some of the greatest people influencing your life are your teachers, mm-hmm. your coaches. Mm-hmm. I know in my case, people I worked with, like Dick Trammell, but also I look back and I think back to the late Frank Broyles, who I worked under and mentored me. What a great man. I think of the late Coach Harold Horton. Coach Horton will always be one of the shining examples of a great leader, a father, and someone who lifted people up, and somebody I would have run through walls for. Wow. So very close to him. I think of my junior high football coach, Jim Lindbergh, now passed, who believed in me when others did not.
That's the story right there.
Nobody believed in me. I was, and I got to tell his wife recently, his widow, and I ran into her at church in Little Rock, and I said, and I just happened to sat in front of her, and I turned around and she said, "Are you Joe Spivey?" And I said, "I am." And she said, I'm Mandy Lindbergh." And I said, "You'll never know the impact your husband had on me." And I said, "He believed in me when no one else did." And I said, "I was a skinny, insecure kid and scared of my own shadow." And I said, "He made me believe in myself." You know, so we have mentors all through life.
Yeah.
You know, I have a mentor now that I, you know, and now, and not only Dick Trammell, but I think of Fred Johnson, who's a mentor to me, it's kind of a spiritual mentor to me. Somebody that I look up to, lots older than me, but, you know, mentors can be young or old.
Right. Right.
You know, and so I always looked up to those people that have solid values of, and strong characters, care about others, mm-hmm. and the way they live their personal life.
Mattered. Yeah. But we call it kind of giving the shout out, you know, or recognition, however you want to call it. That's one of my favorite parts when we ask our guests, because for Enrique and I, you know, having our guest on is such an honor. To tell their story but to have our guests give that moment to our guests to see if there's anyone in their lives that they want to give a shout out to, you know, because obviously this is going to be online and air and everything like that. And it's just a moment to just say thank you, right? Because in reality, maybe they don't know, they never knew, or they haven't heard in a while or whatever it might be, but it's just a moment really to just say thanks, right, from you guys to them. So that's always one of my favorite parts of the podcast. But we move on to Northwest Arkansas now, a little bit talking about the Northwest Arkansas area and some of our favorites. And this is a question for both y'all. And Joe, I'll start with you this time. If you have a friend or family visiting Northwest Arkansas for the first time, where's that one spot you're taking them to first?
Western's Cafeteria, Western's Cafe in downtown Rogers.
Oh, I love that place. That place is amazing.
You went there
all right
today. I was there just today.
Western's Grill.
That's so funny. I love Western's Grill.
You know, Western's is a place where the community comes.
Oh, I need to go.
You know, on Saturday mornings, on Sunday mornings during the week, lunch, breakfast.
John Rex said the same thing.
Western's, you've got to go to Western's. It's just, it's been around since the 19, it's not in the same location.
50s,
it's been 1950 something.
Uh-huh.
And been going there for years and years. So
yeah,
you bet. Western's.
Every Saturday since I married him in 81, every Saturday morning, his dad and his brothers would get up and go to Wester's for breakfast and then go work cattle. And then John Rex came along and he'd get up every morning.
Saturday
morning and go work, go to Wester's. And
they got waffles there every
day. Oh, yeah.
They it's breakfast. And they do close a little early because they open, I think, right at 6 a.m. I think they open, I think they close at 1:30. Okay. But they have breakfast and then they have like a lunch menu also.
Okay.
You have to go, man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell Marissa.
I can't believe you haven't been
there. I've never been there.
Okay, you gotta go.
I'm hurt, man. I'm hurt. I'm just a customer, but I'm hurt. Yeah, they're the longest standing, I think, restaurant in all of Benton County, if I'm not mistaken.
You're probably right.
I think so. Yeah,
they've been around for.
We're gonna test this place out, Enrique.
It's good. It's really good.
I get a waffle. I get like just a waffle and some hash brown and eggs and bacon.
That's thank you for saying that restaurant. And I love it there.
Absolutely. And Taco Bell.
No. Taco Bell too. Close second for sure. Taco Bell's right there.
Now there's another one, but it's just down the road in Springdale. It's called that. Also, if you want great fried chicken, go to Neil's Cafe in Springdale.
I also love that place.
See?
I think there's a link going on.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, our audience knows, I think Enrique has mentioned both of those places pretty much a few times. Is it the Pink House?
Yeah, it's you're going down Samuel Business. Yeah.
That's right.
If you're driving towards Springdale.
Oh my gosh.
You can tell they're thinking about food.
Yeah.
We like food.
Yeah, food's good.
So, Suzanne, how about you? You know, you have a family or friend visiting Northwest Arkansas for the first time. Where's that one place you're taking them to?
Oh, I'd take them out on Beaver Lake.
There it is.
How blessed are we to live in Rogers, Arkansas with Beaver Lake at our...
So true.
You know?
Very true, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like as locals, sometimes, I take for granted how amazing our area is. And then you have people from like Little Rock. I have family live in Little Rock. And they'll come up here and be like, oh my gosh, there's so many things to do here. There's the lake, all those like different amenities. You know, they enjoy it differently.
Just beautiful here.
So yeah, I'm glad you said that because we truly are very fortunate to live in this area.
So the question is, do we have a boat? Do we own a boat?
We like spend time on the water and
you know, I'm gonna text John. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, really? You know, I can appreciate your straightforwardness. I'm definitely not.
I'm teasing.
Can any?
You guys are so kind. Now you know.
Tom, he'd love it.
All right, it's on record, people. You're right.
Poor John's gonna be like,
hey, Walcott, maybe I don't know what's going on.
You know, talking about Beaver Lake. As a child, I watched Beaver Lake fill up.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And
when you went, your dad took you, I think you were in first grade, and he said, they're going to fill the lake today.
Well, when they started to build the dam, the river started to begin to get wider and wider over time. The dam was completed in 65, but from probably 62, 63, it started to fill up slowly. I remember I was in school and I heard, the dam is closed up. And I had this vision that it was going to be like a swimming pool. So I thought, it's going to be completely full. So I ran home, looked out the window, thinking that it was going to be an instant big lake. It was not. I was terribly disappointed. It was nothing more than a swollen river. And it came in over time. And so as a child, I got to watch the lake along with our family slowly get to where it is now. And then it settled. There was no developments out here. There was nobody out here. There were a few boats.
Sure.
Because it was a novelty at that time. So there was a lot of excitement about the lake and, a lot of the young people, high school kids, you know, got into water skiing, and we had a Beaver Lake water show, believe it or not, here over at Beaver Shores.
That's a fascinating time to kind of be around, right? Seeing the lake fill up and slowly see it.
It took several months and years for it to fill up. But it just slowly started to fill up. Because once they started construction on the dam, I mean, immediately it got, wider and wider. But When they finally closed the gates and put the last block in, I still remember, you know, the lake filling up, and it was just nothing more than a big river, big wide river.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I wonder how that looked just seeing it slow as a year. I can't even imagine. All I see is just, you know, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I think there's pictures at the Rogers Public Library. You can obtain pictures of what it looked like as it was filling up. I wish we had, again, we didn't have the photography that we have today.
One picture of the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a picture of that, and we have a picture of Joe's parents' ranch before the lake came in. And we do have those pictures, and that it would be on the river bottom or down where
pasture.
The lake is
just level pasture.
And we do have those photos, and I treasure those.
Very cool.
Interesting. That's neat. Yeah, that's very neat. Nice. Yeah,
very nice. Quick question here for you guys. We talked about some, you know, places I've been here, Westerner's Grill, Neil's Cafe. Are there any other hidden gems that you guys know of that people should know or don't know about? And we'll start with Suzanne this time.
Wow, there are a lot of hidden gems in Northwest Arkansas, I think. We love going to NOLA's downtown, and I don't think that's so hidden anymore.
No.
War Eagle. We love going out to War Eagle. That's beautiful out there.
Yeah, War Eagle's beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most overlooked, often overlooked gems we have in Northwest Arkansas and treasures is the Pea Ridge National Military Park.
I went there as a kid.
Yeah, with the largest battle fought west of the Mississippi was fought in Pea Ridge. The significance of the Battle of Pea Ridge was the preservation of Arkansas. Had the Confederates won at Pea Ridge, Arkansas would have fallen to the Confederacy. So it was right on the border, Missouri, Arkansas, and Arkansas. But that was a brutal, brutal battle. As I said, it was the largest artillery barrage since Gettysburg, or prior to Gettysburg. Gettysburg was fought afterwards, but it was April of 62, I believe. And it was a very significant battle, very well-preserved battlefield.
Yep. That's what I remember whenever I went. I went there on a field trip as an elementary school. And I remember it being, what you said, very preserved, you know, from what they had from way, way back then, right?
Yeah. A lot of people go out there and, ride bicycles, which is nice, tour. But they really need to go into the park and visit it and see the movie and see, because it was a significant battle. A lot of people don't realize this, but there were over 10,000 battles, you know, fought in Civil War. Of those 10,000 battles, over 700 were fought in the state of Arkansas, is a relatively high number. Now, those may be just small little skirmishes, like, you know, 10 people across a creek, but, you know, there was Prairie Grove. There was two in Northwest Arkansas, which is a state battlefield or state park. And then the most significant one is the Pea Ridge. So that's a legacy that we should have, you know, that we should always remember it and remember those who fought for the Union.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've been. I'll have to go and check it out. It's been a while. And I remember as a kid, at least I enjoyed the experience, but I mean, as a kid, you enjoy pretty much any field trip, right?
So
maybe I didn't understand the significance, but now that I'm a
school.
Yeah. So now that I'm a young adult, maybe I could appreciate it a little bit more.
Or a movie day when they popped in a movie.
Oh, true. Yeah. The movie days.
Yeah.
When they would roll out the VHS and the big box of TV, you know you're gonna have a good day in class. Yeah.
Now they got smart TVs in the classrooms.
True.
Also, you know, we also have the Hobbs State Park.
True.
That's a hidden gem. Because of the natural area. That's one. You have, and of course you have the significant bike trails for those people that want to, to, you know, to mountain bike, or you got the Razorback Greenway.
Yep.
You got all of those amenities that have been added in recent years that have improved the quality of life in Northwest Arkansas.
For sure.
So,
yeah,
aren't we lucky?
We are.
Yeah.
So fortunate in Northwest Arkansas.
I feel like I forget oftentimes all the things we have. Like I forgot about that Pea Ridge military site, or and then all the Greenway connect all throughout Northwest Arkansas. So, I mean, there's so many things you can do in here. And so, yeah, it's a great area that we live in. I definitely agree. Now, we mentioned many restaurants, many spots, but what are y'all's favorite NWA spots?
And I want to add this real fast. We can't not Havana's Grill. Or I'm sorry, Las Palmas, a different one.
We love Las Palmas.
I know.
My former student. You know, there's too many to mention for me. And so many, I would say Joe, yes, Levi's, my former student.
Oh, yeah, Levi's. Yeah.
There are just so many restaurants that are so great here in Northwest Arkansas. And I hate to just call out one or two because we have so many friends who have them. And I will say that Jessica's my former student, Levi's wife.
Okay.
And Jose, Las Palmas, my former student. I have to throw that in there. But there are so many wonderful restaurants. And downtown Rogers, we've got so many new ones that are so great. Yeah.
And don't forget the Fat Chef.
The Fat Chef. And they're great people.
Yes.
And he, you talk about a fabulous chef. He is, just unique food. So we're so fortunate in Northwest Arkansas to have wonderful restaurants.
No. You know, that question is always more of where will we find you on the weekend? You know, one of your favorite restaurants or coffee shops or brewery or anything like that.
I think you'll find us at home.
Oh, we're home, Barton.
You'll find us at home.
There it is.
That's fair. With you mentioned earlier the amount of traffic nowadays, you know, sometimes I'm weighing, do I want to go out in the traffic today? Or maybe I'll order in and just relax at home.
Yeah.
Completely fair. I definitely.
We like staying home.
We like home.
We can make the, you know, the fajitas or whatever we need to make at the house. We can make the gin and tonics at the house.
There you go.
You know, why do we need to leave? A beautiful house like this where you see the lake, you know, from outside your living room. It is beautiful. But so to tie in all our episodes together in a way is when our guest leave a question for our next guest for them to answer. So Christian Saavedra from Heritage, right? He left y'all a question. And this question is, when was the last time you learned something new and how did that impact your everyday life? And we'll give you a few, you know, a little bit of time to think about that. And I'll say it again. When was the last time you learned something new and how did that impact your everyday life?
Wow.
I know.
Well, I can tell you for me.
Okay.
Quickly.
Yeah, there it is.
I don't even have to think very long. You know, technology.
Oh, yeah.
Technology. For, you know, someone my age, you all grew up with technology. But for me, just learning how to do minor things on the computer or with the remote on the TV and how has it affected my life. Mm-hmm. Well, Addie, my mother-in-law and I, we have figured out how for her to pull up movies quickly by using the remote, the microphone on the remote. So that's one way for Addie.
Yes.
She can pull up the Sound of Music quickly and her favorite movie. But just for me, technology.
Okay. I did teach, you know, and I agree with you. Or I understand that I taught my mom how to use GPS like a couple months ago on Google.
Yeah.
And she's like, that was game changing. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, if I can teach you one thing on your phone, that's like text messaging and using, you know, all that. I was like, GPS, I can send you an address. You can Google this restaurant and just hit start. And that's all you need to do. And she was like, now she uses it pretty much every day, which is, you know, which was nice.
That is good.
Yeah.
Good to mind. Technology and AI. AI enhancement.
Oh,
For example, I was, as I told somebody who authored a book on on AI. I was kidding him. He's our dean of our business school at the community college. And I said, Chris, your book's already out of date. AI is changing every week. And so we got to laugh out of that because it is.
For sure.
So I'm learning about, I'm continuing to learn about technology. I love technology, like Suzanne. I have to stay in front of technology. Suzanne and I did not grow up in that world. We didn't grow up with, computers and technology and AI and, or, Excel spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. You know, we grew up in basic, learning basic language.
Right.
And so in order for me to stay relevant, every single day I have to push myself harder and harder to learn new technology. Now with AI, this is something I've learned. I'm accepting it and I believe in it. And I think it's going to be a tool that's going to, as long as it's used in the right way,
mm-hmm. right,
that it's going to help. Yeah. And it's going to help us do our, it's going to help us in our daily lives.
Oh, ChatGPT. Oh, sure. I mean, I've heard
people putting together, for example, putting together a loan package for a major loan, pulling out information that I need will save time, money, energy. So
for sure.
So I'm a big believer in AI technology.
It's crazy how quickly it's evolved from just even 2 or 3 years ago, or even last year, even. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's every day I feel like there's an update and it just changes it to something.
It changes daily. It changes daily.
It's just such a drastic form of technology that we have. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So
AI is great.
Yeah. So now, Joe and Suzanne, you'll be leaving a question for our next guest. It can be as simple as you want or as complicated as you
and
want.
And who is? Do we know your name?
No, we do not know.
That's the connection. Okay. Yeah. Just
yeah.
Okay. Yep.
I'll let Joe ask the question.
We'll take two.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll take two.
Okay. Mine pertains to, I have to write things down.
You good?
Maybe I need a pencil.
Mine says this: what have you done in the last 6 months to improve the lives of others?
Dang. I like that question. That's a good question right there.
Yes.
I'm going to be asking myself that later when I'm laying down. That's a really good question. Very good question. Suzanne,
how about this one? What are your plans to help others in the future?
I like it. Thinking about how we can better improve our community, the lives of others, and not just strangers, but people around us as well. That's a wonderful question as well. I like that one too.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's been as we wrap up here, Joe and Suzanne, you know, it's been such an honor and a pleasure to have taking the time to speak with us and give us parts of your story. It's filled with a lot of love and care. And, you know, what did we say earlier? Describing the family.
Engagement.
Interjection. Yeah. It's left such an impression on me. And that's just, it's just a blessing. It's amazing. Oh, and so thank you. Yeah. From the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. It's again, like I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, you invited us into your home and I know your home is your sacred space. You know, it's where you are your most vulnerable at times. And so the fact that you allowed us to come and share a couple hours with you and get to know you a little bit better, you know, for me, I told Juan Carlos, what an honor it is to be able to just be invited over and share this time. Cause not everyone is welcome in everyone's home. So again, thank you so much. Oh. We appreciate your time and
thank you.
Thank you.
And really, it was a blessing getting to hear your story and learning a little bit more about you. Like Juan Carlos said, you definitely left a large impact on me as well.
Yeah.
So thank you so
much. Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I want to wrap it also up on my side, our side,
yes,
with compliments. I want to say to you, Enrique, and to Juan Carlos, and to let you know how much, and I think I speak for both of us, how much we admire. Mm-hmm. And I'm this is going to be a shout to our Hispanic community who've come into Northwest Arkansas and have come into our schools and our churches, our community, and have built and have helped to build a better life and improve our community. You know, you talk about engaging. The Hispanic community has done that. I've had the privilege of giving scholarships, and I've been on scholarship committees, and I'm always blown away by our students, and it's always their parents have been an influence in their lives to say, you know, you're here to better your life. You're here in this country, you know, mm-hmm. much like my, as I said earlier, when we first started my family, my mother, whose father came here as an Armenian immigrant, mm-hmm. And made something of himself and was proud to be an American. And so, I admire the people, the Hispanic people in the community who've done that. So,
thank you.
I want you to know that.
And you both have been a joy to be having our home. Oh, yes. And you're always welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate the kind words.
Dojo, this morning I have great respect for Juan Carlos. He's such a hard worker, and I've enjoyed meeting you. Sure,
we'll go with that. I agree. He's such a hard worker. The 1 year I've known him, it's true.
Okay, and you all have known each other for 1 year?
Yeah, about a year more or less. Correct.
When did you meet?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It was the very first time we met. The very very first time it was we were having a lunch with our team. It was at Tuscan Trotter in downtown Bentonville. And he was getting invited to maybe join our team, right? To maybe see mm-hmm. if he'd be a good fit for our team. Mm-hmm. And I remember he sat across from me. So I don't know. Ever since I met him for the first time, I always had very good impressions about Juan Carlos. Works very hard. He's a very kind guy. I'm glad to call him a friend and you know, doing this our podcast together, it's an honor, really. So yes.
And another question for the two of you. Yeah. We'll turn this around. Yeah. What led the two of you to start this podcast? I just think this is a great idea and wonderful thing. Yeah, yeah. What led you to do this?
We'll let Juan Carlos here because he came up with the idea initially.
That's right. It started with. And thank you, Suzanne, for asking that question. I love answering that question. But it started earlier this year in January. I remember because as Enrique was saying, last year I started my career in real estate. And, you know, that half a year or started right before summer, I was having trouble creating content in real estate. As we all know, that social media is a big driver in mm-hmm. Real estate. But Earlier this year, I wanted to do something that would really get me more engaged with the community. I really enjoy talking to people. I love people. I love getting to know people. I remember sitting down on my couch and I said, man, what can I do to create content for real estate? But then I was thinking bigger than that. Started thinking a little bit bigger than that. And I said, man, I think I'm going to start a podcast. But the podcast will be talking with the community. Because I felt that even myself as a native, a local here, mm-hmm. been here for a long time, mm-hmm. I don't really know the area like that. I don't really know the people that have been in this community longer mm-hmm. or the people that shape or impact this community. And mm-hmm. I said, I just want to tell their story. We're growing so fast mm-hmm. in this area. Mm-hmm. I think some of the generation, before me, no one's really documented this. No one's really heard these stories. Maybe their kids know, maybe their coworkers know, mm-hmm. but as our city is changing, our town is changing in the next, this is just a chance to just capture mm-hmm. that and just get to meet mm-hmm. these people who have just been mm-hmm. an impact the last 20, 30 years mm-hmm. and the future people too. Mm-hmm. So man, we've had people from like the gentleman from Pedal It Forward, Mr. Kenny Williams, mm-hmm. he's the one that oversees that over in Bentonville, right? Mm-hmm. They supply bikes to the people in need. Mayor P. Ridge, we've had Mr. Nathan Sees. Let me see. We've had a few facilitators, you know, like Mr. Resendez, Christian, you guys, John, you know, I've had Furman on here. To me, I feel like there's such a story to tell about these people and they do, or they do something in the community that I just want to, I just want to hear it. And I just want to share it with all the other people in this community. So, and I reached out to Enrique cause I was telling myself, I was like, man, who can I do this with that, I just feel comfortable with. And he was one of the, and I'd only known him a few months. And I remember I invited him for coffee and I was like, hey man, I have this idea. I think we'll get, I think this would go really well. Cause he's funny and he's really caring. Enrique is really caring, real funny. And he's actually really smart.
I can tell.
And those are things,
you know, making me blush now,
you know, and those are things that I almost say that are a little bit different than me. I can talk to people, but sometimes I like just listening. You know, I'm smart or anything like that, but I know how to do like operational things. Like I think of other things and I'm like, I need someone to do this part. And I don't know. I just invited him and I still remember when we first recorded, I said to myself, even before he arrived, I said, I don't know if this recording is going to go good or go well, but I think it is. And we recorded one take. Well, it was two, but our first take, and it was, I thought it was really good too, but we got off topic, and so we recorded those. So
yeah.
But there's actually our first ever take was just one take. We just said record, and we went on it. We talked for an hour. It was great. And the rest is kind of history. And that was just back in January.
Yeah. So you would be our, I believe, our 22nd episode recorded.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Well, I think you're both very professional.
Oh,
I think
you
did a great job.
So sweet. Yeah, no, this has been awesome. I this has been amazing. So, but folks, I just, you know, as we wrap up here, you know, like I said, Joe and Suzanne, thank you so much for your time. And folks, for the audience who's listening here, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of So NWA. You know where you can find us on Instagram at our So NWA podcast. Get to see some other activity behind the scene, things behind the scene and things like that. But besides that, guys, take care and we'll catch you on the next episode.